This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. Hey, I have a guest. Cool, huh? Yeah, so we're going to talk about that in a little bit. This is 91.7 FM. We are broadcasting here live on Facebook Live, and I have a guest here, Barbara Modio, which will come into our show in a little bit, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, who's out in the other room, Fran Storch, and she'll be in here also to join us very soon. And if you're watching this on Facebook Live, you can feel free to comment. Fran can probably get back to you, which is really nice. And this is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle business, the bicycle culture, pretty much everything about bicycles, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, bicycle racing, you name it, we talk about it. If you have a comment, you'd like to make a comment, you can just leave comment down below. Or if you're listening to this on an audio file, you can just simply send me an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, or now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. Yeah, step up in the world here. Trying to, anyway. Ron's Rant of the Week. I can't avoid this. This will be broadcast on the 13th of September, but today is September 11th. And it's been 22 years since the towers went down, so it's a rant. It's not really bicycle oriented, but where were you during that time? I was in a bicycle shop visiting with the folks out at Benidorm Bikes out in Canton, Connecticut. I walked in to watch the second plane go into a tower. Kind of a sad day, really is, especially when you live here in Connecticut, because we had a lot of people from Connecticut that were involved in all that. So anyway, we'll move on that one. And the other thing I want to talk about too on my rant is traffic calming. We're going to go into this a little bit deeper later on in the show with Barbara. But, you know, traffic calming, come on, folks, get a clue. This is such an easy thing to do. It's a simple solution to a huge problem. People drive too fast. Poor Barbara is driving down my road here today, and she discovered the Bassett's Bridge Freeway is what we call it. Mm-hmm. It's a back road with 30 mile an hour speed limit that everybody goes 70 on. It's great, huh? Gotta love it. Anyway, we'll talk a little bit more about that and why it is so good for all of us, and we'll get to that a little bit later in the show. But now I got to go on to the positive side, and the positive side is, of course, we have a guest, which is really nice. We were going to have two guests, but one of them decided that she wanted to tweak her knee or something. Yep. I don't know exactly what happened there, but she's Sylvia. We appreciate the fact that you would have tried to have been here. That's good. You could put ice on here. You could just sit on the couch, but that's okay. And Barbara is going to talk to us about the Rotary in Motion event, which is coming up at the end of the month. Really exciting, good stuff. So we'll get into that in a little bit. But the other thing I just cannot stay away from, and I am going to go into this in a little more detail as we go into the show, Sep Kuss, folks. It's week two, rest day. Okay, it's the rest day at the Vuelta a España. Sep Kuss is still wearing the red jersey. And he is followed by his teammate, who is second, and his other teammate, who is third. They're rocking the show here. I have some things to talk about this. I'm so excited for Sep. Durango, Colorado. You grow up in altitude, you can really climb some hills. It's an amazing story. He's 28 years old, and he is on a roll, and Jumbo Visma is on a roll, and it's just such a cool Vuelta. So I am obviously very, very psyched about the Vuelta a España right now. It's a great race, and we've got an American who looks like he might conquer the race this year, which would be really, really cool. Other thing, Westfield, Massachusetts. You did it! Okay? You can now ride north on the Columbia River Greenway past Westfield Stop and Shop on the Westfield River Esplanade and cross the river to Women's Temperance Park, all on trail. The trail terminus contiguous with our local Farmington Canal Heritage Trail is 19 miles from Rotary Park in Simsbury, Connecticut. It'll make for a big greenway day. 38 miles round trip with great destinations for northbound and southbound riders. And my big shout out to my good friends Mary and Don at New Horizon Sports. They've been working on this one for a long time. So pretty cool stuff. So I think the eventual plan here is that you should be able to ride from Belchertown, Massachusetts to New Haven, Connecticut on this trail once it gets finished, which is like way cool.
Yes, very cool.
Yeah. I mean, I never thought I'd see this in my lifetime. Uh-huh. And now all this stuff is just kind of coming together. And it's wonderful. It's just so cool.
We're going through Lazy Lane out there, too. Did you see that?
Lazy Lane.
Lazy Lane. Where it ended in Southington.
Okay.
We're connecting through Southington, so you don't have to go on Route 10.
Oh, they're making the Southington connection. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal.
That's a huge deal.
That's a really big... Yeah. Well, my shout out to the Coles over at Renaissance Cyclery on that one. They've been working on that one for decades.
Yeah.
And there was a very stubborn business owner who didn't want it going through his property.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Thank you.
Wow, that's nice. So, anyway, those are my positives. Mechanical Minute. Okay, I have a prop here for this one, and we'll get to that in a second, and I'll try to do this as best audio as I can, too, because I know that some folks are just listening to this on podcast and don't actually see us here. But I have been complaining about my carbon creak for, I don't know, a month or so, maybe longer. It's been a while. And
I did a nice hike at Carbon Creek.
At Carbon Creek, yeah, that's crick, not a, that's a crick, not a creek. Yeah, no, this is different. So anyway, I've got this horrible creaking sound coming out of my bike. And last week I talked about having to take the quarter test and tapping on the carbon frame to see where the crack might be in the frame because I was starting to worry about it. And then I just looked at my bike one last time. And I went, you know, I've done everything. I did the seat post. I did the handlebars. I put a brand new bottom bracket in the seat. I've gone over everything. Chain ring bolts, pedals inside crank arms. You name it, I have been there. Except, I guess I had not been there. So, guess what? Back to the seat post. I put another slather of carbon assembly paste on it, and of course that didn't work. But I ended up taking, and here is my saddle right here. It comes off of my Bianchi bicycle. It's a very nice saddle, very nice carbon seat post. Nice, right? These two bolts right up on the top of my seat post, which are the binder bolts. Actually, they're on the bottom of the seat post. They're the binder bolt that holds the saddle onto the post. I put a wrench on them, and I got an ever so slight movement of the bolt. I mean, hardly enough to say anything at all. Took the bike out for the ride. Nothing, no noise. A little bit of noise because it was a little dry, so then I came back and I released the bolts and I put carbon paste on the actual rails right where they make contact with the seat post, and voila, I have a quiet carbon bicycle now. So, Ron's tip of the week, check everything again and again and again. That's what we got. So, going on to content in the show, I got to start with the Vuelta, and then we'll get on to our guest. I just don't know what to say. Who will win the Vuelta? I'm going to tell you right now who's going to win the Vuelta. It's going to be Sepp Kuss, unless something terrible happens. I think Sepp is our man. He is in great position. He is well guarded and protected, and there's a really good reason for that too. And this is why I love the Jumbo crowd so much. The Jumbo Visma team is so supportive of one another. Sepp Kuss supported Primoz Roglic in the Giro. He was critical to Primoz winning the Giro d'Italia. Sepp is a great climber. He's a hard worker. He does anything they want him to do. And he's just, you know, he's young, he's strong, and he's smart, and he can climb. That's what you need to win a Grand Tour. So he was supporting him there, and then he went on to the next Grand Tour This means he's done them all, by the way. He goes on to the next grand tour, which happens to be the Tour de France, which is kind of a big deal. And he's the backup man for Jonas Vingegaard. And there he is. He's his man. He needs him. He needs him to make an attack. He needs him to lead out one of the other riders to you know, antagonize them or reel them back in or whatever. And Sepp was the guy. He was the guy that did it. And so you would think that he would be pretty worn out by the time they got to the Vuelta a España. But Sepp went away on a breakaway early in the race, and no one even looked at it as a concern, and he put minutes on the peloton. And that set the stage for it's Sepp's turn now. Jumbo is going to win all three Grand Tours this year. That's not normal in bicycle racing. It's very exciting. It's really interesting. And Primoz Roglic, who was destined to win this race. That's what they kind of had him set up to do. He is now working for Sepp, as well as Jonas Vingegaard. They own first place, second place, and third place in this race. Another thing you just don't see very often. So we're cheering for Sepp because he'll be the first American who has won a Grand Tour since Chris Horner won the Vuelta a España a number of years ago, 10 years ago, I think it's been now. And at 41 years of age, I question that. Anyway, I'm not going to go any deeper than that. I'll just stop right there. But this is really, really a big deal. And this is the kind of thing that makes me excited about bicycle racing and why I love to watch bicycle racing and how much fun it can be, because you just never know. So we're pulling for you, Sepp, back here at Bicycle Talk. We think this is the most amazing thing we have seen. And who deserves it more than the guy who does all the work? It's great. What a perfect opportunity. So really, really, really excited. I've got a little piece here. I want to talk a little bit more about what is coming up and in order. They have another week to go. You know, it's rest day today on Monday. It's Tuesday through Sunday. Sunday will be the parade. So Sunday is kind of doesn't count because Sunday is the grand parade into where did they start? They started in Spain. What's the capital of Spain?
Madrid.
Thank you. They'll be riding back into Madrid, I believe, and that will be the final stage, but it's always just a big party. It's champagne sipping, and you know, they're riding in the peloton, passing around bottles, and then there's a big sprint at the end, and the race ends just like it does in the Tour de France, and also like the Giro, or sometimes the Giro ends with the time trial. Every race is little bit different.
The different races have a different thing.
They all have different formats. But we got a couple things to look out for. There's still a couple of mountain stages left, which these are critical. If you've been watching this at all the last couple of days, the Remco Evenepoel he's upset because he was another guy who was plugged into, you know, win the race. Obviously, very, very strong rider. He's won it before, and Jumbo did damage to him. That was that move they made with Sepp, putting him way out in front in the very beginning, which ended up turning into something that they had not predicted, was a big deal. And Remco's still a good 10-20, well, almost 20 minutes behind. So he's not going to be able to do much, but he did want to go out and prove himself. So he had some amazing aggressive stages in the mountains the last couple of days. It's fun to watch, but it's not going to help him in any way. So especially with first, second, and third place owned by Jumbo right now. So anyway, that's what it is. Stage 17, that will be on Wednesday. All right, it's 122.4 kilometers. They called stage 13 one of the most brutal stages in the race because stage 17 is a super short stage with three categorized climbs, including a summit finish on the Beyond category Alto do Agrilu. Okay, might give it a run for the money, but we'll see. There's just some nasty, nasty stuff. 12.5 kilometers at 9.8%. How about that, Barbara?
No, thanks.
I thought you might like that one, huh? Yeah, no, that's steep stuff. And for a long time, too. It has a final 7K, which has a gradient of 13%, five ramps up at or above 20%. It's going to hurt. Yeah. It's going to be nasty. And these are where these guys crack. I mean, you can crack on something like that. That's not an easy thing to do. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he'll be well protected and he'll be still climbing real well. And I hope he got a good rest day in today. Whew, boy, oh boy. So we'll see what happens. And then there's stage 20. There's also flat stages in between on these, which they're not too concerned about as long as they don't crash. So should be okay there. But stage 20... if it's still not settled yet, the champion of the 2023 Vuelta will certainly be decided on stage 20. It's an ascent-filled slugfest through the Guadarrama Mountains outside of Madrid. It's just cruel. It's the longest stage at 207 kilometers, and it includes 10 categorized climbs. 10! Ouch. Yeah, they're all category threes, but it's still 10 mountain crushing hills. It's nasty stuff. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully good things will happen. Again, we're cheering for you over here, Sep. We really are. We really want to see this happen because this will be the first really good, solid, successful American presence in European cycling in a number of years. So I'm psyched. So that's what I got. I'll let you know next Monday on Bicycle Talk. We'll all know the results at that point. That'll be fun. So now let me introduce you with my friend Barbara Amodio, who has been a cycling advocate for as long as I think I've known you. Like big on bikes, which is really, really cool. Yeah. And you are also, I believe you have something to do with Bike Walk Bolton. Is that correct?
Your co-chair, Bike Walk Bolton.
Co-chair. Okay.
Yeah.
With Sylvia?
Sylvia.
Okay. Yeah. Sylvia, who couldn't be here today.
Yeah. She hurt her knee biking.
Yeah. did she fall to hurt her knee?
She did.
She did.
She hit a gate.
Oh, I know so many people have hit gates.
Yeah.
Gates our rail trails are... So we have this ancient system of putting bars and gates up like you would at like a state or federal park to close them off so that people don't drive their motorized vehicles on them, which is really good, but they all really need to be ADA compatible because it's happening, I think, up your way.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting ADA gates in now. Yep. And if you don't know what an ADA gate is, that's a gate where you can actually get a wheelchair through.
Right.
Or a bicycle trailer through, which is really nice. But you can't get a motorized vehicle through there.
Right.
So these gates are still there. And if you don't negotiate them right, you can whack your knee on them.
Absolutely.
And I've seen people whack way more than their knees on it. I've seen people completely miss the fact that they're there and run into them full steam.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that's a shame. That's a real shame. But we're not here to talk about that. Well, maybe we are a little bit, but we'll get to that. We're here to talk about the Manchester Rotary in Motion, which is a free event coming up on September 30th.
It is, yeah.
Tell me what you know.
Yep. Right before I do, I want to also remind you that there's a Discover Connecticut tour this Sunday.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah,
yes,
it starts in Bloomfield Recreation at 8 o'clock in the morning, so you might want to join that. The information is on Bike Walk Bolton Facebook page, so check it out. But I do want to talk about the Rotary in Motion event big time because I really want to encourage the cycling community to show up for it. And there's a big reason for it. And I know a lot of you have a lot of bigger rides to do, but as we advocate for trail improvements, one of the things that we often hear is that, but nobody's on the trails, nobody's using them. And my thinking is they think that because we're not like the beach. We're not all piled up on each other. We are spread out on the Hop River Trail on 20 miles all by itself. So they're not seeing us in groups, which is why I'd like us to come and advocate and show up at the Rotary in Motion event. The Trail Census, Connecticut Trail Census information shows us that plenty of people are out there. In 2023, there were over 80,000 people that went through that tunnel in Bolton to be counted on the infrared counter. The one in Vernon counts about 150,000. So the people are out there.
Wow.
And you can check a CT Trails census and get all of that information for about 20 trails in Connecticut that are recorded. As you go by them, the infrared picks up your body heat and it measures you. So so as I say, we're all spread out. So the Rotary event, if you show up, it has a political kind of aspect to it. We have the mayor of East Hartford there. He will be at the opening ceremony, and he will be at Cabela's to meet and greet you as you get there. So that is a 30-mile bike ride led by Dave Wahlberger and Jim Adams. TCC is really big in this, too.
Yeah.
And the mayor of East Hartford is very, very with us on connecting the East Coast Greenway. As you know, when you go through East Hartford, you try to get to the riverfront.
You can't quite get there yet. And we're getting close.
We have a meeting with Krog and the mayor coming up soon, but he's big on it. So I'd love if you all arrived there en masse and, you know, got to meet and greet the mayor and hear what he has to say.
And that's Mike Walsh, right?
Mike Walsh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he's also trying to make improvements to the road. So a lot of you are road cyclists, so that to make safer ways for people to bike on roads. So let them see that we come, we care. And the Mayor Moran, I think is his name, of Manchester, will also be at the event. And I don't know if you've seen the work going on in Manchester, these green boxes and bike lanes, and they want to convert the entire Main Street into a bikeable, walkable community, taking out some of the lanes, and so that we can actually go right off the trail and go down to all of those restaurants and all those great places there.
Because why is Main Street in Manchester the width of a freeway?
Can you tell me?
Is it just for the Manchester road race?
Maybe. But you know, if you go 30 miles an hour start at the front, you will go the whole length of Main Street without hitting a red light.
Is that right?
The speed limit.
It's rigged.
It's rigged, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. That's really cool.
But they also want to put in a pump track, I think that's what you say, for the mountain bikers.
Oh, yeah, sure.
In the park.
Yeah. And we have one in Willimantic right over here. Yeah.
So we have a little mountain bike experience also that will be running from that day. And then the 17-mile loop ride, which is also part of the 30-mile ride, will take you on the Cheney Rail Trail, which next year, Town of Manchester got a grant to extend the Hop River Trail to meet the Cheney Rail Trail.
I heard about that. Yeah,
so we won't have to go on the road there either.
Right.
And that's Manchester supporting. And so we should go and show them, you know, that we care. We are the community that cares.
You know, I have to shout out a little bit to Manchester on this, too, because they were the ones that put in that Charter Oak Greenway along 384 at first.
Right.
And no one had a bike trail anywhere at that. I don't even think the bike trails existed on the other side of the river at that point.
And Bill O'Neill.
Yeah,
a big advocate.
It's because of Bill O'Neill. Bill O'Neill is the man. He's done it all.
He's pushed. But and Manchester also maintains the section of trail that Manchester maintains on the Charter Oak Greenway does not have those huge humps and cracks. The humps and cracks out by MCC is DOT. So, you know, advocacy. Yeah, so we need to work on it. We need to be there and show them, you know, and advocacy is what our group Bike Walk Bolton does. We don't have all these fun rides and things, but we're advocating for improvements all the time. So
right.
And then who else? Deep representative Kim Bradley. I'm hoping she'll be there, but I'm not sure. She's been a huge assist to all of us in everything that we've tried to get done on the Hop River Trail, including our new grant that we had just won for signage, wayfinding, and all of that.
So
I'm not sure she'll be there, but just to come and show support for all of those things, I think is really important.
I think Kim is a strong cyclist, too.
She is.
Yeah, she. I bumped into Kim at the, there's a gravel ride that I help with my friend Richard Fries.
Is Kim Rourke?
Kim Bradley.
Kim Bradley. Whatever. And she came right up to me and went, "Hi, Ron, how are you?" And I looked at her, and I knew who she was.
Yeah.
And she told me about she just had this job is fairly recent, I believe.
Right, she was a Connecticut Trail Census leader of that, and then she moved over into Lori Giannotti's position.
Right, Lori Giannotti, so and I had worked with her for years
She was wonderful also, And Kim just did the ride, the East Ride that we did also, starting at MCC. And so,
So it's starting to happen. We're starting to get people in place where they belong to help solve these problems that we have
they're actually getting it.
And then you had mentioned something to me about someone with the DOT that was a ped bicycle coordinator.
Can I get on that after the
I'm sorry, I jumped the gun on you.
No, that's really important, but that's separate from the Rotary. So let's see, we have an East Coast Junior ride, East Coast Greenway Juniors Ride, Sue Smith and Sylvia Owenpour are running that.
Okay.
So it's a track around the park, and it's like the rodeos that we have done before.
Sure.
So we'll be teaching kids safe cycling, and they'll go around, they'll have stops, and, you know, Sue and Sylvia, it will be also fun.
Yeah.
We have prizes. We have helmets for kids who might show up who don't have a helmet.
Oh, good.
Royal Ice Cream is giving out ice cream for participants. Highland Park Market has snacks for participants.
That's wonderful.
So it's really great. Then the Lutz Junior Museum, there's a music garden at the Charter Oak Park. So for the little kids, there's a push, pedal, pull. They can ride their trike. They can be in a wagon. And they go through the music garden, and they stop, and they see little animals. And they get to learn about animals.
Really?
And I think, I don't know if they'll get to touch them or whatever, but they'll have little stickers and prizes also. And then they go to the next one, and they see another animal. And so...
Wow, fun.
It's all free, you know, so why not bring the whole family?
And that's a big thing. This is free.
It's
this is
free,
a free event. You can just show up and be a part of it, which is really, really cool.
And we're hoping the Ebony Horsewoman, I don't know if you have ever seen them before, but they're remarkable. You know, horses can also use our trails. And they have a group out of Hartford, and I think they actually police one of the trail, the parks in Hartford.
Okay.
But we're hoping that they'll be there just as a presence at the beginning with their beautiful horses. And then as soon as the opening ceremony is over, they'll ride off on the trail.
Wow.
And then we'll get on with the other ones. We have a guided walk by Susan Barlow, the town historian, that will walk people over to the Cheney Rail District.
Mm-hmm.
And she's amazing. She knows everything there is to know about Manchester and the history of it.
Right. And the Cheney Mills were a big manufacturing, textiles, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, textile manufacturing. Yeah. And they've made them now into these beautiful apartments.
Oh, gorgeous. And there's a Manchester museum there that if you haven't been to yet,
I have not.
Bike to it. It's worth just going and seeing it.
Right
behind the Cheney Rail Trail on Pine Street.
I'll check it out.
It's really cool. Yeah.
That sounds great.
And I don't know if you know, in the Charter Oak Park where the Cheney Mills, when they used to, there used to be a pond there up where the soccer fields are.
Okay.
And depending on what color they were using in the mills, the pond would be green or blue. So the pond's no longer there. It's underground. But, you know, that's part of the history of Manchester.
Sure.
Anyway.
Sure. Very cool.
And then, if you don't know Kevin Sullivan, Cycling Without Age.
I do.
Okay, he's going to be there. He's from Weathersfield, I think, right?
Yeah.
He'll be there with his rickshaw and a free ride.
Yeah.
Two people, just Kevin pedals and you sit in a rickshaw around the park.
We're actually doing something right here in Mansfield with him.
Oh, you are?
Yes, we are.
All right.
Yeah,
oh,
Kevin
nice.
Came
He's
out
cool.
and did a presentation for us with Bike Mansfield.
All right.
And we're at, and the folks in Mansfield are psyched about it. Like, we went to the nursing home with it and you know, the senior center, and they're like, we'd love to do this.
Yeah.
This would be great.
Manchester has a Cycling Without Age group now, too, that you might want to check on if you could have two.
Yeah.
It's brand new. They just got it.
Oh, that's cool.
I don't
know
much about it, but
it's an investment for sure.
Oh,
you know, it's not an inexpensive machine that we're talking about, but it's just a great opportunity to get people out and
yes.
get them to experience some fresh air and some activity.
And the park is gorgeous. Yeah. That park is amazing. You know, what they've done, there are always kids playing there, and it's amazing. And then the other thing we have is Tri-Tikes. Ken Messier.
Okay.
Is Ken Messier. Yeah, Ken Messier.
I know the name.
He's bringing his tri-bikes, the...
Are they tricycle-type bikes,
no.
or what are they?
Oh.
What are they?
Adaptive bikes.
They're adaptive bikes.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
And they're amazing. He'll just have them on display. As a matter of fact, one of his customers has ridden with us on the Rotary Ride the first and second year, and he was one of the strong advocates for changing the gates.
Because he
couldn't get through on his trike,
sure.
and he has one leg missing, and so for the first event we just had the gates open, and then by the second time the Deep had put in the ADA compliant gates, and now he can actually ride the whole thing. Well, not the whole trail. You can only get to Bailey Road right now before you're locked out because those gates haven't been changed yet.
So that's a Deep project?
That's a Deep project,
It is. Okay. So now I know who to contact when we want to get some done down this way.
Yeah.
Because I'd love to see them.
Yeah. The airline trail is really hard to get through.
Oh.
Did you see the family of six people from Belgium that just went through? They biked from... Well, they biked from Canada to New York, then they biked from New York to Rhode Island.
Really?
Les 12 Gambettes. and the airline trail was really difficult for them. You can see video of them getting off.
I can understand why, because, you know, there are some points on it which are not very suitable.
They're
for
pulling
most.
A 2-year-old, they have a 4-year-old, they have four kids.
Yeah.
Getting through, so that was hard.
Yeah, we've had numerous groups come through here that have been from different countries, and the airline trail is kind of a lot of people discover it as a way to get from, especially if you're coming out of Boston and you're coming down. And I had a young man who caught up with me one day on the trail down in North Windham. And I sensed someone was coming up behind me. I looked, turned around, and there's this young man with full panniers and the whole deal. Mm. And he was from Canada. And he was riding, he hopped on to the Erie Canal Trail, took it to Albany. And then he went from Albany, he went over to Boston. He hung out with some friends in Boston and was taking Boston down. And he was going all the way to New Haven and back into New York City. And then he was going to take the Empire State Trail back up to Canada.
That's pretty cool.
That's amazing.
Cool. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So
East Coast Greenway. Don't forget to mention that.
East Coast Greenway. Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is all, it all will come together. Mm-hmm. And I think I remember the last East Coast Greenway meeting I was at, it was mentioned that Connecticut was the leader in Greenway projects. Is that correct?
I think Massachusetts maybe took over.
Oh, did they?
But we're up there. We're close.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where we are right now. When I first did the East Coast Greenway, the entire thing was 23% complete. Now we're at 40-something percent.
Wow.
So we're getting there.
Yeah.
And Connecticut, when Plainville and Southington, little piece in Manchester, East Hartford, when those are finished, we're
getting
good.
Close.
Yeah.
I want to see the link between the Farmington Trail and the trails over here.
But they're working on it. I'm not sure, but check out that Bloomfield Ride, because I think that spotlights part of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's this Sunday, so don't forget that.
Because the other piece of it was from Middletown out over to the Hampden Trail, but that's about 7 or 8 miles, I think, is what it is.
Middletown, that's...
Yeah, so that would be the airline trail that goes to East Hampton. And now there's a little piece in Portland they're working on, I guess.
Yeah.
And that would bring it to the river eventually.
Yeah.
And now,
you
can go over the, what do they call
Aragone.
It? Aragone Bridge,
yeah.
Which has a bikeway over it.
Yeah.
And then now you're on the other side and you're in Middletown, but then you need to connect over to... I don't know, where would you go? Meriden? I guess yeah, Meriden, Southington.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm
somewhere
sure.
in that yeah. general area. Yeah. Yeah. But how cool would that
I
be?
I know. It's all, I think that, what did that be, 111-mile loop or something, or an 80-mile loop, if they make that
oh,
connection.
God, yeah.
I know.
Yeah, and the things that you could do to promote that, you know, that would just, you know, you could put on all these wonderful rides
yeah.
that would get people out. And
stay at hotels
let them
along
understand.
The way, right? So now we've increased the economy. So
uh-huh.
stopping for food, we need places to stay.
I made a presentation to the city of Willimantic just before COVID, and because I was trying to get them to...
They need places to stay.
What they need is they need to move the airline trail onto Main Street. And so we're discussing. We're
mm-hmm.
still in, it's
mm-hmm.
still in discussion. Mm-hmm. But I explained to them what it does for commerce and
right.
the Erie Canal Trail at that time, and we're going back before COVID. So it was bringing in $22 million a year in commerce from
yeah.
just people on
oh,
bicycles.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I mean, this is a no-brainer.
But they need
you know?
To, they need, if they move it to Main Street where it was before, they need mm-hmm. to make it safe on Main Street.
Oh, it's a protected, I'm talking protected
right,
lane. Yeah, completely. No parallel parking on one
no,
side of the street. Completely. Protected
yeah, because it's, I mean, there's everything in Willimantic
right.
except a place to stay.
Right.
So when I counsel people who are, not counsel, from biking, say, from Rhode Island to New Haven,
right.
where do you stay?
Right.
Willimantic should have a place to stay. They don't.
They should.
Manchester does not have a place to stay. So there is a really nice place... I forgot the name of the town that we stayed in, and then you have a long ride. So.
Right.
And not everybody camps out, so, you know, some of us like places to stay.
Right, right. And there is a hotel on Stores Road, which is right over by the Eastbrook Mall, and that is, or shopping center, whatever
it's
you want to call that.
It's not a great spot, though,
it's
to
not
get from the
great.
Rail trail.
Well, it's a mile away. It's a mile off the
yeah.
trail. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's probably even less than a mile
How
off the trail.
How would you get there?
You would have to hop off on Ash Street and then go up to 195.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And you would be there. But once again, it's not a really safe road
yeah.
for riding
yeah.
your bike.
Yeah.
So there's not a good way to carry people over there.
You know what? The other thing, though, even more camping opportunities, like around if the Maine Moose ever... What a great place to stop and camp.
They really want to do a lot more
Love
there.
To be able to, yeah.
Yeah, yeah I so. You know, I've had a lot of conversations with those mm-hmm. folks, and they have ideas,
yeah.
really good
yeah.
ideas, and that trail goes right through their property.
Right, we just have to get there, so that's coming. That's
yeah.
coming.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, they kind of started their own little thing there, and then yeah. Deep got mad at them for
yeah,
it, because
well.
they did it without permission, mm-hmm. but they started putting their own gravel down. On the
yeah.
trail and
yeah.
and now we gotta wait for the bridge,
right?
And that's next right. year, is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, yeah.
You always think so.
The one over the Hop River,
mm-hmm.
the bridge,
yeah.
and that bridge is pretty big, and also I think the stonework that was originally underneath it needs to be rebuilt too
yeah,
because it's crumbly.
I think they, I'm not sure. I think they might be using another little spot. I don't know if it's going right on the additional foundings. I think they've changed it a couple of times. So,
oh, okay.
But I don't quote me on any of that.
It would be
sure.
easier to do it in a different spot
mm-hmm.
because that's
mm-hmm.
really crumbled badly
yeah.
right
yeah.
there, and it might twist it a little bit.
Yeah.
But that's who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares
yeah.
if it goes over
it's
the bridge?
Beautiful.
That's great, and over the river.
Yeah. But definitely we need more places to stay and to eat and safe, you know. And I agree, Main Street and Willimantic, what a place to get to
yeah.
if you had a safe way to do it.
And, you know, Fran and I, we ride in on Sundays to the coffee shop. And,
I do, too.
And oh, you do?
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's live music behind the coffee shop on Sundays from 11 to 1.
Oh,
and
nice.
And it's kind of a neat thing because they've got this little patio out back
yeah.
between there and, get this, the parking garage that they put bicycle racks in under the garage.
Oh,
so you can actually
nice.
Have a protected place
oh,
to lock
seen
your
that.
Bikes.
That's great.
Yeah, I
yeah.
try to point this out because
yeah.
that's my big gripe about parking garages. They don't have bicycle parking.
Right.
And come on, you know, I mean, one parking space, 10 bicycles.
Yeah, right.
Be smart.
Right, right.
Be smart.
Yeah.
You know, give us a space.
Yeah.
It can't be that valuable to them.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's a personal gripe.
I agree.
You know, every parking garage should have safe and adequate bicycle parking. Mm-hmm. And really, they shouldn't charge for it. Right. You know, it should be free.
Yeah.
You know, it would be a really good promotion for the company that owns the garage or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me wishing and talking.
I know.
You know what it's like.
I do, yeah.
You've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah. I think that's my list. Please, please, please come to the Rotary in Motion event September 30th and hear the speakers.
And there is a website that we could go to learn about this?
Well, you can always check it out on Bike Walk Bolton, and I think it's Rotary in Motion.
I think I have it here. It's www.manchesterrotary.org will get you there.
Yeah.
That will definitely get you there.
Okay.
And it's a free event, folks. It's free.
Yeah.
Free. You get to come out, play on your bicycle, bring your family, have a great time, mm-hmm. and maybe learn a little bit. There's some history here, too. Really cool. Mm-hmm. This is a good thing.
Big event. And I'll tell you, the Rotary Club, I think their motto is service before self, and they do it. They bring it out. They bring it on. So I'm not a member of it, but...
Right. Well, big shout out to Manchester Rotary. That's really cool. And you
East
got the cool shirt, too. Look at this.
Manchester, East Hartford, and Vernon. It's three clubs.
Oh, really?
In it.
No
yeah.
kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I hope they have a great event. I am unfortunately not available that day, and Fran will be flying back from your mom's, I think, that day.
The day before.
The day before. Oh, so you could go to the Rotary in Motion.
If I'm feeling well, I'll try to go.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great.
Yep.
You can ride the rickshaw.
Right. That's fun.
Yeah, so can
That's
Sylvia.
Really fun.
She's working. Never mind.
Yeah.
Oh, and Bill Penn is also working. So
okay.
I'm telling you.
Good.
TCC is there.
Yeah.
And John Bolduc.
Yeah.
Bev Duncan.
Yeah.
Ride leaders. So, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. And, of course, Dave Wahlberger, who's everywhere.
Dave's amazing.
He's the ever-ready bunny of the bicycle world and cycling.
Yeah.
Dave is involved in everything.
He is.
And it's great. It's really great.
Yeah,
it's really cool to see. So, let me bring us to our next thing. We still have some time here. Yes, we do. Keep an eye on that for me, though, Fran, if you could, just so I don't miss out, because I've got my timer over here. So, traffic calming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I brought it up earlier. It's such a simple thing to do. If you don't know what traffic calming is, we can talk a little bit about this, but it has a range of proven benefits, including speed reduction, lower fatality rates, decrease in injury severity, reduced traffic noise, better conditions for non-motorists, and improved street aesthetics. So what is a traffic calm? Well, there's a couple things that we know as cyclists being a traffic calming, and one of them, the big one, is probably the roundabout. A roundabout is a perfect example here, because what you have is you have a way of bringing traffic, all traffic, down to, yes, even you on your bicycle, you speedster, down to 20 miles per hour when you go through this thing, and everyone is safer. It also takes a road, like we've got one we're working on up in Storrs, where the posted speed limit is 35 miles per hour. The actual speed on that road is somewhere between 60 and 70 miles per hour. And it's a state road, and it's a main artery into the University of Connecticut. And it also goes by the senior center. It also goes by the community center, recreation center. It also goes by E.O. Smith High School. It goes by all these places where there's lots of pedestrians. And people are getting hit and sometimes killed there. And it's time to, like, put some rotaries in, because it calms the traffic down. Oh, you got a nice picture right there.
Did you see that?
What's this one? New complete streets design moving forward. No, I had not seen that. That's great. Where are they going to do these? Is this... going. So I'm looking at a rotary right now that is being presented through the
Connecticut Department of Transportation. Great news. A new complete streets design criteria is now required for all future Connecticut DOT projects.
Moving forward,
every project will include design elements to improve mobility and safety of pedestrians and bicyclists and make connections to existing or proposed public transit stops.
Nice.
And so that's that.
Oh, my goodness.
Link is on Bike Walk Bolton Facebook
page
also.
We could slather these all around stores.
Yeah.
Stores in Willimantic both could both use them.
Bolton.
Bolton. Everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody. The other thing that they do for traffic calming is they'll put an island in the middle of the road.
Right.
Because the island, it just makes the road appear narrower. And it comes down to the same argument that, I had this argument back when I was with the Connecticut Bicycle Coalition, and we used to call the roads in Connecticut deadly by design, because Connecticut had a thing, and still does, and most states probably do this too, a thing about, let's make the roads wider so they'll be safer. Mm-hmm. And that's the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. You want to make the roads narrower so they'll be safer. And maybe that'll keep people from buying the wider vehicles and therefore, you know, help slow things down. Or realize that if they're going to get that super wide, gigantic tank through there, they need to slow down. Mm-hmm. And otherwise, they're going to either do damage to themselves or to anyone they might hit with the full thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes along with my, you know, I'm a I rant about vehicles all the time, and I find that the large nature of our American vehicles is rather annoying at times.
Oh yeah.
But and you know, there's just not enough space for them.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is, make the road wider. No, it's not the right answer.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is, stop making the big vehicles. But that's an EPA story. There's a whole story that goes along with this. Do you know about this? As to why the cars are getting bigger?
No.
It's all about the EPA. All right?
Mm.
Yeah, why would it have anything to do with the Environmental Protection Agency? Mm. Because the Environmental Protection Agency has restrictions and limitations as far as fuel mileage goes for vehicles.
Yeah.
Right? So, in order to meet those standards, the smaller the vehicle is, the higher the standards have to be. I did a show about this a while back, or a piece on it, and it's if you take your average small car, which isn't small anymore, but let's call it like a Honda Civic or a Toyota Corolla as two small cars, their vehicle standard, they have to meet by, I think next year, their standards have to be 53 or 55 miles to the gallon.
That's
a big number. So the only way you can do it is by making it into a hybrid, which will do that, which they have done that with, but that brings the price of the vehicle up high. And if they're going to sell a higher priced vehicle, they'd rather sell something bigger. The bigger the vehicle is, the lower the standards to be.
Oh, that's funny.
So trucks, light trucks, have the lowest standards of all vehicles on the road right now. So all of the automobile companies have now designed their cars on light truck chassis so that they can meet the lower standards.
Yeah.
And hence you have the beginning of the SUV craze in the United States. And of course, the marketers just, they market them as safer, which they're not, but we won't even get into that part. But the idea, so it's all done as a marketing move and a way of them not having to meet the EPA standards by the defined time that they're supposed to meet it. And that's what this is all about.
It's a workaround, sure.
It's a workaround. Mm-hmm. You got it. And the car companies, they just don't care because they just want to sell cars.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my hope is that funny thing to bring up, but my hope is that Elon Musk is right. And if Elon Musk is right, he said that e-bicycles and e-related vehicles will be outselling cars by 2030. in the United States. Yeah. And if he's right, then we're on the right path. We're because people will understand that I could take my bike 5 miles mm-hmm. and go to work. Mm-hmm. That's not bad. And my bike now has a motor on it that mm-hmm. helps me get there. It's an assist when I get to the hard stuff. Yeah. I mean, simple. Simple, simple, simple. Or, you know, mom and dad get themselves this really crazy cool cargo bike. They put the kids in, they can put groceries in it. Mm. It's got a cover over right. the top.
Just like
there's just so many
Holland,
cool things.
Yeah, sure.
Yes. Yeah. 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 There are solutions and you know, but it's not something that the automobile industry wants to know anything about.
Right. And plus, as you said before, we have to get back to safe roads
right.
for them to ride
exactly.
on, because even at that speed, they can't really ride in the center of the road.
Right.
And that's one of the things that we in Bolton that we've been advocating for, that Route 44, that you could ride your bike from the UConn main campus into the Hartford campus on, except that the lane widths are so wide, in some cases 16 feet,
mm-hmm.
and the shoulder then is like this, so
right.
it's really not safe to ride, although Dave Wahlberger rides it all the time, as we know. And so
oh, I know.
But the thing that we learned is that the last time they painted, they repainted, they didn't do a road diet, even though we were so excited because we knew that road diets were in the talks.
Right.
But it's not a policy, I guess. It's a suggestion, or it's what they want you to do, what DOT wants them to do, but they don't have to do it.
Right.
But 6 months before any road is repainted or repaved, the town person in charge of roads and things, whoever each person has a yeah. designated person, is informed, and they're allowed to give input into the painting or the repaving. And so if they say, you know, we want a road diet, then they should be able to get it. We can't say it. We can
right.
keep saying that's
right.
what we want, but you've got to get your town person to let them know, could you please, when you're painting, do the road diet
right.
this time?
Yeah, why can't we just paint the roads narrower?
Right. Why don't they just do it? It's not a policy.
I mean,
but
it seems like a simple solution, doesn't it?
It does.
You know.
And then, though, if the town asks for, like, a separated bike lane mm-hmm. or something that would be extra, the town has to pay for that, and they have to pay for the maintenance of it, the way the policy in DOT is written right now, which doesn't either make sense.
That doesn't work.
But they can get the lines painted over if they ask for it without paying extra. So they ought to be doing that, and we ought to be going to our town people and finding out, when is your state road next being painted, and can you please put in a request that they do a road diet when they do it, which is
right.
11 feet standard
all right.
width.
You have me now on a, I'm going to get myself up on a soapbox here, uh-huh. and I'm going to start pounding on this, because that's what we, when I tell people, you need to go to your town and talk to them.
Okay,
we need to sit down and come up with a list of things that we would take to our town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then post them on both your site and
mm-hmm.
my site.
Mm-hmm.
And let's help people learn how to do it, because
right.
a lot of people just look at it and go, well, what can I do? I can't.
Yeah,
show up to a town meeting. That's a good start.
Yeah.
It's a really, really good start. But if you show up to a town meeting and you don't know what you're talking about, that's a problem.
Right.
But
right.
if you show up to a town meeting and you've got a consistent list that all of us have,
mm-hmm.
and they start hearing it from town to town to town, it's the same story.
Yeah.
Then we have something, right?
Yeah, because, and even the town managers or whoever, I'm sorry, I forgot the name of the person that is supposed to be in charge of all the things with DOT, but they don't always know.
It's the engineering department, primarily.
It's not.
It's not?
No, each town has a designated person. And
oh, really?
It's,
I know that the town of Windham hates the DOT, or the DOT
right.
hates them.
Yeah,
I don't know. They both have a similar, they have
yeah,
a love-hate relationship with one another.
Yeah, but for ours, it's a town administrator, but
okay.
they don't even always know, so it's worthwhile. Our town administrator was great. He sat down, he listened to us and talked to him. I think he learned some things and we learned some things. So
mm-hmm.
go to your town and find out who that person is who makes the decisions for the roads.
Sure.
And it's not always the town engineer. So,
but the town manager would know. Yeah. The manager's office would definitely know.
Who the
designated... Or the mayor's office or whatever, where, depending on what the size of your town is.
And when I find out that it's three letters, I'll let you know. Also
okay. All right. Yeah, I appreciate
that. How are you, Sylvia?
Well,
she knows.
Yeah, Sylvia knows. Well, we've kind of done it. We've gone through the our list and our protocol for today, and I'm running out of time, so I got to get onto my events page here, which you're a part of. So I'm going to start out on I got a few things here. This is September 17th. There is a Mystic Car Free Afternoon Walk Bike River Road. They're going to close the road down from 11 to 3 p.m. so you can walk and ride your bike on River Road. If you don't know where River Road is in Mystic, you'd ride across from Mystic Seaport. It's beautiful. It's flat. It's nice. Really, really pretty. It goes along the Mystic River. So that's from Bike Stonington and Bike Groton, whatever. They're kind of a combination. The Sunday, September 17th, also in Brimfield, Massachusetts, the Opicum Land Trust has a ride, was a spectacular scenic bike ride through several of their conservation properties in Brimfield. The ongoing is the bicycle game on the history of bicycles in Hartford. It's still going on at the Historical Museum, the Connecticut Historical Museum in Hartford, 1 Elizabeth Street. On September 23rd, the Quiet Corner Mountain Biking Group will be hosting a fun ride at the Pomfret Forest, located in Pomfret, Connecticut. You can find them on Facebook. Check them out. They're great people. September 30th, the Charter Oak Park Manchester Rotary in Motion.
Be there.
It's a free event. ManchesterRotary.org. Check it out. Really, really cool. And I thank you so much, Barbara, for coming on and doing this.
Thank you for having me.
This is really
great. See a lot of people there.
And my final little push here at the end is October 15th. It's Mansfield Hollow Cyclocross coming soon to a state park near you. And, you know, it's right down the road from our house. So, finishing points. Don't forget about the bicycle game. Got to check it out before it goes away. It's a really cool event. It's a really, really cool thing. I would certainly push on that. And Sepp Kuss, what can I say? Sepp Kuss, you're my hero. You're doing it, man. 28 years old and you are on fire. I love it. I love it. I love the team, what they're doing, the camaraderie. This is why I love bicycle racing. Everything you're seeing with this group is why I love bicycle racing. It's just a beautiful thing. Woohoo. I always love listener comments. I keep getting them. It's a really wonderful thing. That's great. I'm going to say it again, and it won't be my last time. Get loud, get active. Our time has come. Stop complaining about traffic, dangerous roads, the price of gas, the lack of places to safely ride your bike, and join the revolution of change. Yeah. Hey, take a day, park that car, and just use your bicycle. You might just surprise yourself. Views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. You've been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host over here in the background, Fran Storch, and my guest, Barbara Amodio. Thank you so much for listening to us. We talk about bicycles, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you've been listening to this on Facebook Live, you can leave a comment down here below or on my YouTube channel. This is Pedal and Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down, the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. It really could save your life. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org. Thank you so much for listening.